You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I can't wait to see this. Our next ESPN film is titled Yankees Dodgers, an Uncivil War, about these baseball rivals that played each other in the World Series in 77 and 78. It's tonight, 9 Eastern on ESPN, and it'll be available on ESPN Plus immediately after the premiere. It should be great. With that, we welcome you to hour number two. We are live, as always, above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. I want to shout out a fan of Northwestern College, which is in Orange, Iowa, tweeted at us and at Jeff Saturday in particular and said, you need to see this block for your pancake segment. And so we encourage that, right, Jeff?
It is the, absolutely. Please send all you want. That's the perfect block. That is literally the perfect block. And the first view I got was from somebody's camera phone, and it was great, and it was a thing of beauty. As I knew right there, this is a thing of perfection.
What is it like being on the other side of that? Like,
yeah, tell him. I don't know. Tell him.
It never happened to me.
I hit like this. I ain't never got hit like that.
But you were a comparatively little guy getting hit by comparatively big guys.
Because I knew that we were our comparative size didn't match up. I did this.
Yes.
I did this. I did this, all types of things to avoid doing this.
It's called business decisions. Business decisions.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Speaking of which,
nobody.
Did I mention we're at the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17? There's some business. Let's do it. Top of the hour. Let's roll, Cindy. We had a great one last night on Monday Night Football. And by great, I mean fascinating. No Dak, no problem. Cooper Rush getting it done for the Cowboys last night. And primarily RG3 because he was giving it to Zeke Elliott.
Exactly. Zeke had a throwback game last night. Oh, man, look at him churning the legs, yeah, getting that extra yardage. Right. Feed Zeke.
They ran the ball effectively last night, and so then the play action sets up a wide open CD Lamb, but how does he drop this?
Oh, man, CD gonna get open. He ain't always gonna catch it, but he got his get back later.
Should have run it.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
He's saying it's his fault, as though that wasn't evident to everyone. Just over a minute left now. Daniel Jones, Jeff, he had no chance all night.
Oh, listen, 24 pressures, sacked 5 times, running for his life. I see you, Lawrence. Hey, everybody talks about Parsons. They got 4 or 5 others over there that can get it, too.
Cowboys up 6-3 at halftime. Third quarter, the Giants do get one big play, and it's Saquon Barkley.
Don't let him loose in the secondary. Linebackers and D-line, that's your job. Don't make that my problem.
14 carries, 81 yards, and that touchdown. Giants take a 13-6 lead, and you're thinking, oh, my goodness, they're going to go to 3-0. But you were thinking wrong, because Cooper Rush has Peyton Hendershot.
Who?
Exactly. That's a first down. Cowboys in the red zone. Now here's a name you know. Zeke takes it home.
Yes, that's, again, getting into the end zone, turning. That's a grown man run right there. Like we said earlier, feed Zeke.
He had 73 yards rushing. Tony Pollard at 105. Early in the fourth now. 4th and 4 from the Giants' 41-yard line. They're going to go for it, and they're going to get it by that much. C.D. Lamb tackled at the 1 as he will take that first down. Now, here's the play where he's tackled at the 1 as they're going to get it down close to the goal line here, Jeff. They're moving in for the go-ahead score.
Yeah, as the game's going on, Cooper Rush is getting just lethal. Pinpoint accuracy, putting the ball where it needs to be, and players making plays.
Yeah, that fan's not going to like this either. How about this catch, C.D. Lamb?
Yeah, I mean, it's nothing you can do right there. It's a great ball and a one-handed catch. Like, you just play good defense and cross your fingers, but sometimes guys like CD make plays like that.
Yeah, the other 88s were excited to see it last night. Drew Pearson, Michael Irvin, and there's Dez Bryant in the stands wearing a Trayvon Diggs jersey, and it would be Diggs who would close out the night. Daniel Jones, last gasp, final 2 minutes, down by 7, throws that pick. David Sills just fell down. It was that kind of night. Daniel Jones didn't have a whole lot of help out there. Cooper Rush, 21 of 31, 215 yards, a touchdown. They're 2-0 when he starts. Cowboys have life. And Mike McCarthy has questions like this.
Do we have a quarterback controversy?
Hey, everybody, safe travels home. Okay. So I think we get back a little earlier than you do. Sorry about that.
All right, fair enough. So good calls are brought to you by Subway here on Get Up. And obviously, Marcus, there have been a lot of good calls that they've made since putting Cooper Rush out there. It was Jerry who brought up the idea of a quarterback controversy, and no one here is willing to go anywhere near that. But What we are seeing is them calling the game differently, Marcus, and maybe this will wind up having been a good thing in the totality of their season.
Yeah, when we were talking about this in the first hour and talked about complimentary football, as you heard Mike McCarthy talk about it, guys, remember last year when Dallas was wrong? It was a run team. It was a running football team, play off of play action, and they got away from that. And that's when Kellen Moore started to get all the vitriol about how bad of a play caller he was being down the stretch. Two things are happening, man. And I don't know if – hopefully this is a learning experience for Kellen Moore. Cooper Rush is playing phenomenal. I don't want that to be overshadowed by what I'm about to say. But hopefully for Kellen Moore, it's like, look, guys, it's as simple as this. We got to get the ball in our playmakers' hands early and often in this game. And the one guy that I focus on all the time, and I know people get sick of me saying it, is Tony Pollard. He changes the way defenses have to play you. It opens up things for everybody else. You get Zeke going in between the tackles. They even got Zeke on the edge last night as well. But when you start talking, you look at Dallas, I think it was 30 runs or something, or high 20s, and then Cooper Rush throws the ball 31 times, right? And for everybody that's in today's NFL, where we come off a game where Josh Allen throws at 63 and Pat Mahomes may average 47 passes a game, this is also a formula you can use to win. And I think Kellen Moore is evaluating himself, saying, you know what, when we do get four back, that affords us possibly to do a little bit more down the field or in the passing game, we can still be this type of football team and protect our offensive line by running the ball as well.
Rush threw the ball 31 times. They ran it 30 times last night. So that's the distribution we're looking at. And is that, I know we joke all the time about how Jeff Saturday wants to run the football because that's what offensive linemen want to do. But when Dak Prescott is again their quarterback, however soon he's able to do it, is that what their offense needs to continue to look like?
Absolutely. If you want to keep Dak Prescott vertical, this is what you're going to have to do. This offensive line is built to run block. They want to be physical. They want to push people around. And by the way, the creativity that Kellen Moore is using in the run game, crackbacks where guys are pulling and getting on the thing, pinning pulls, all the different type of things we talk about offensive line-wise, this is a physical group. When they're backing up, they're not nearly as good as when they're moving forward. So play to your strengths. If the strength is your offensive line, Pollard, Elliott, and again, set up the play action, and now you're developing Noah Brown and CeeDee Lamb and big shots. I mean, they are wide open down the field. Like, if he don't drop it, this game gets out of hand in a hurry. This is their style they need to play with or without Dak. It gives them the best chance to win.
If you can run the ball, that's the style that everyone wants to play. Like, if you can get 9 yards a pop.
Except for you and Grimes.
No, the reason why we say throw the ball, because it's hard as hell to do that consistently all the way down the field. They did it this game in part because the Giants do, like, max pressures. You can win the edge and get over. Like, this is not something that's going to be replicable every week. They are fortunate enough to do it these two games, but at some point, they're going to need to put more weight on the quarterback, and that's when we're going to be reminded that Dak Prescott is the quarterback and there is no controversy to speak of.
No, I'm not going to try. Even I'm not going to try and create a quarterback. I'm a talk show host, but I'm not crazy. But let me say, I'm going to push back on what you just said. Analytics suggests you should throw the ball more. Analytics are the ones, all the analytics people constantly tell me, no. Yeah. This whole idea of running the football, controlling the clock, that's not how you win in modern football.
Analytics suggest that because it's easier to have success. It's because it's really hard to do. If it were easy, like the Ravens were the most efficient offense in football a couple years ago, running the ball more than anyone had since the wing T. That's because they were able to do it successfully. So the only reason why people
it's because their quarterback was the one doing it.
Exactly. So the reason why we say throw the ball is because it's easier to have success doing that. It's very hard with all these big, fast defensive players to run the ball successfully every down. If you can do it, go for it. No one will beat you.
Robert, so does this create less urgency? Again, no one is – Jerry Jones, the only person who's going to use the words quarterback. I'm not even going to do it. But does it create – they didn't put Dak on injured reserve in part because – they felt like we lose him for four games, maybe the season is over. Right. There was going to be a lot of urgency and pressure on him to get back. Right. Does this change that dynamic if you can live with Rush until Dak is really ready to go?
I don't think it does, and I think they didn't put Dak on IR because they know more about his injury than we obviously do.
Right.
Two, let's not act like Cooper Rush is out there throwing for 400 yards and five touchdowns.
Right.
He threw for 215, had a touchdown. He's being efficient. He's playing well early in games, and he's finishing games well.
That's right.
That is what we have to talk about. And then third, Kellen Moore, I feel like, had a coming to Jesus moment where he said, all right, I'm not really focused on leading the league in yards per play or being the number one offense in the league. We have to win games now. We have to get the ball in the hands of our best players. That's and their right. best players are Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard. But one thing that we are missing here, the Cowboys offensive line is the number one run blocking unit in the NFL.
Yeah.
But they also put Jason Peters at left guard. Mm-hmm. And he went out there and he played his tail off in that game. Unbelievable. He's used to being a tackle for the majority of his year. He's 40 years old.
Yeah.
He's going out there helping the young buck get the job
done. So how about Dak? How about the thumb? Where are we with all of that?
So he got the stitches out. We know he was on the field with the, you know, with the softballs or whatever last week. This week is about seeing how he grips the football and how he throws it. And as he gets the strength back in that hand, that moves him closer to being able to play. I know he told Lisa Salters on the broadcast last night that he didn't rule himself out for this coming week. That feels a little far-fetched, especially given how conservative the Cowboys are in returning players to the field from injury. But I don't think week 5 against the Rams is completely out of the question. All depends on how he progresses once he's able to get out on the practice field.
Let's wait until after Aaron Donald. After Aaron Donald not hang around. I think Cooper Rush can hang on to that one.
He'll run the ball another couple of weeks.
Here's what I'll say, too. They play the Commanders this week. Carson Wentz just got sacked 9 times by the Eagles. This defensive pass rush for the Cowboys, I shudder to think what they may be able to do against Carson Wentz. So, Swagoo, to finish up the Cowboys piece of this, because I have a few questions I want to get to about the Giants. 2 weeks ago, I was talking you off the ledge. I said to you, they're going to be fine. They're better than fine. They're 2-1. Are the Cowboys going to make the playoffs this season? Yes or no, Marcus Spears?
Yeah, G, they'll make the playoffs. And a lot of it has to do with the NFC like strength as well. Mm-hmm. But defensively, the one thing that usually travels is your defense, right? Mm-hmm. Like to Foxy's point, games dictate how you run offense a lot of times, whether you playing from behind or whether some situations. I don't think this defense is going to have you playing from behind much, right? The Giants were 0-7 last night on 3rd and 6+. Shout out to my guy, Himbo, for sending me that stat. You win games like that. That's how you win football games. That's why we sat here last year perplexed about how the Cincinnati Bengals was doing this with Joe Burrow getting sacked a million times a game. And it was explosive plays for them. But this defense is going to keep them in football games because when you look at the rest of this league, when you look at the NFC in general outside of the Philadelphia Eagles, guys, everybody offense can be had right now
right.
when it comes from a defensive standpoint. Like, there is no offense in the NFC where you look and say the Cowboys defense can't have success against them, can't have success That's against right. them. And think about this. Micah Parsons didn't even wreck the game last night, and it still was to the tune of 5 sacks and all of those pressures. So it'll be interesting to see how they go forward to see if any offenses can put pressure on this Dallas offense to come out of, like Foxy was saying, push the ball downfield. But based on what we've seen from Dan Quinn, now going on his second year, this defense don't seem like it's going anywhere from helping the Cowboys as much as possible be in a good situation late in games.
So the league is a fascinating one because every week everything changes. Mm-hmm. So both teams, as a result of last night, are 2-1. The Cowboy fans are feeling great. In the meantime, the Giant fans, their feelings could easily be summed up. Our executive producer, whose name is Pete McConville, went on the kind of epic rant on our call this morning that I'm telling you right now, the talk shows in New York would give anything to hear. And this is despite the fact that they're 2-1 and were in the game last night.
Right.
But the reality of it is, this is a season less about winning than it is about figuring out what you have.
Right.
Can you evaluate Daniel Jones based on what he's playing with last night? He is running for his life on what feels like every snap.
Yep.
He's throwing to people that I sit here every day. I don't know who they are. Right. Can you evaluate Daniel Jones right now in any reasonable way?
No, I don't think you can fairly evaluate him. But as we all know, the NFL is not fair and life isn't fair. But Daniel Jones actually kept them in that game for the majority of it. I felt like, man, he got beat up, 24 pressures, sacked 5 times, 4 new offensive linemen in front of him. And he gave them an opportunity to win. 79 yards rushing. He was efficient throwing the ball. The only reason that he had the interception there was because Diggs sealed the deal because Seals fell on the ground.
Right.
So I'm looking at Saquon Barkley's resurgence. He's playing like his old self, being explosive, confident. And the Giants are a lot better than people are giving them credit for. But Daniel Jones doesn't have a true opportunity right now, at least through 3 weeks of the season, to show who he is. And Dominique, you said it earlier. They didn't exercise his option.
They did.
That lets you know how they feel about him.
I'm not going to stand up here and allow you guys to go through this Daniel Jones propaganda. The time is over for Daniel Jones in New York. They're not going to re-sign him. When they didn't exercise his option, it was done. Done for him and probably Saquon too, honestly.
So then what's this season about for them?
Like, this is about finding out, starting anew is what this season is about. New foundation, new coach. They feel like they have the coach, and they're going to rebuild around the coach. Well,
But that gets changed when all of a sudden you're 2-1 and you have a winnable game on your schedule this coming weekend. Yeah. You got to start thinking. They had a chance to win that game. As bad as it looked and as bad as their problems obviously are, they had a chance to win that game last night. And I feel like the quarterback was probably the best chance. Where is Kenny Golladay? All he's doing is fetching about how he doesn't get on the field, and then when he gets on the field, he can't catch.
And it was, and obviously you want to give him opportunities because you have Kadarius Toney, last year's first-round pick. He's not active. Wandale Robinson was this year's second-round pick. He's not active. Got to throw it to somebody. And, you know, Kenny's not falling down that we saw. So, right. But that was an opportunity for him. Look, there was very little opportunity in the passing game for anybody because of the pressure, right? And so that'll change going forward. You won't face the Cowboys every week. But I believe they are making an evaluation on Daniel Jones, and I think there's still a chance that they could end up deciding to sign him long term. I don't want to put a figure on it, but they are trying to figure out what they have there. Last night was a mark in his favor.
I agree. Yeah. Listen, here's the part about Daniel Jones. We talk about quarterbacks all the time. Daboll was with Josh Allen. Josh Allen wasn't who he was until Diggs gets there. Yep. Tua is not who he is until they get Hill there. You know what I mean? Hurts isn't who he is until Brown gets there. He got to have dudes to throw it to. If you get in the dudes, listen, they are going to be in a better place offensive line-wise. I know it looked like atrocious yesterday. They will get better there. But Barkley, Jones, and get him a one at that position, all of a sudden he – and again, I'm not telling you he's an elite quarterback, but Brian Daboll, it will be a manageable situation. That's why I think they're evaluating.
Here's what I'll say. I believe Dominique is right, which is to say I think he has almost no chance of being their quarterback going forward. But I also think their owner is right. John Mara, the owner of the Giants, said, we've done everything possible to ruin that kid last year.
Absolutely.
And he's more young quarterbacks are ruined than developed. So the point is, Daniel Jones has never had a chance. Maybe he would have been a good quarterback once upon a time. Yeah. He had no chance.
And maybe he will be somewhere else. He's athletic. I think he has all the skills. I thought he was good. But RG nailed it right off the top. Life ain't fair. Football ain't fair. It sucks for Daniel Jones. It sucks for this team that Gettleman and Judge and McAdoo and all the things that they had going on in that organization set them up for the place they are now. So if Mara want to be upset, he can be upset at his damn self.
Yes.
He the one who made all them hires.
Go, Spears.
No, I just want Foxy to keep going. Because that's the damn problem right there. That's the real problem.
Everybody got some computer guys.
I remember sitting here, Joe Judge, he came from New England. He's going to be tough. This team is going to be tougher. He was trash. Okay? McAdoo, he was trash. You look at my man, shout out to my man Bubba Dub, who will be on TikTok and Instagram saying trash. This is not about Daniel Jones.
You left Gettleman.
The reason why, Gettleman, I said him earlier. The reason why we are sitting here today is because of the decisions that the ownership in New York has made. Daniel Jones can look at Mara, he can look at the GMs and the coaches that he's had and have them to thank for being the hardest evaluation in the NFL. We have no idea if Daniel Jones is a good quarterback or not. He's in his fifth year in the NFL. We literally do not know. For as much as I done piled on Daniel Jones for the fumbles and turning the football over, as much as we done looked at him have all of these weird moments and talk about does he need energy and have to have more juice at the end of games, to your point, G, this dude has literally had zero chance to be successful in the NFL. It's hard enough to play well when you got good players. He ain't had players, he ain't had an offensive line, and he's had a horrible head coach. And guess what? Bill Belichick finding out right now that I ain't got nobody to call plays either. And them dudes was head coaches, and one of them was in New York.
He hasn't had a horrible head coach. I think he's on his third coach right now, and he's only been there four years and three games.
Yeah.
It is a revolving door, and you say to yourself, horrible, look, Robert, you understand this better than anyone having played the position. Yep. It is the most dependent thing in the sport, and I just feel like standing up for Daniel Jones because I got Giant fans yelling at me all the time. He stinks. This quarterback says, I don't know if he stinks. Maybe he does, but the bottom line of it is you couldn't have put anyone in that situation and had them succeed.
I had four head coaches, six different offenses that I had to learn in 8 years in the NFL. It's very difficult to go through that process. So I think Marcus is 100% right about the decisions that they've made. But I will say this, being there on the field before the game, there's a different air in New York right now. And I think Brian Daboll has brought that with him from Buffalo. So if anything, I would love to see, we're going to see the rest of the year play out, but I'd love to see Daniel Jones get an opportunity with Daboll bringing in some weapons so that you can truly evaluate him.
Yeah.
But patience isn't something that the NFL is really, really good at. But Daniel Jones, to me, actually gained fans last night by the way that he played, getting beat up so much.
If they keep playing the way they're playing, they won't be in the position to draft some hero quarterback unless they're willing to just deconstruct their roster again. What I'm telling you is, if you feel like this guy is giving you a breath of hope, you would hang on to it. He's not going to crush the market. You've seen what he's doing, so you would be in it for a reasonable price. You got Daboll developing him. You got to go get receivers if you want any shot in the NFL.
All right, so that's last night for you. Cowboys get the win. They're on top of the world. Giants get a loss. They still have a winning record. They have a winnable game coming up this weekend, and yet their fans are not feeling quite the same way today. As we roll on here in a huge hour on Get Up, yesterday, Rex told us that for the first time this season, he thought Patrick Mahomes missed Tyreek Hill. We'll show you why and see if our guys agree coming up next. Plus, criticize Lamar Jackson at your own risk. Why the Ravens quarterback feeds off the doubters and enjoys making them eat their words. That's on the way, and so is this. Sneaky Hembo laying in wait for Graziano. We're talking about Lamar. He became just the second player to score 100 fantasy points in the first three games of a season. Who was the only other one to do it? That's the question. The answer's next. Get Up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than 1 rebound or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date list of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Here we go, Graziano. Lamar Jackson is just the second player ever to score 100 fantasy points in the first three games of the season. Who was the first?
So somebody, I think Dominique said it has to be a quarterback or a running back, but the trick is Lamar Jackson is sometimes kind of both. So I'm thinking of other guys that have done that, and I'm thinking about Cam Newton.
It's a good guess. It's not right. I'm a little surprised by the answer.
Oh.
Russell Wilson.
Oh.
Russell Wilson in 2020 got off to that incredibly fast start. The other names on the list are surprising. Ryan Fitzpatrick is third in 2018.
Jim Brown.
And then it goes back to Jim Brown.
Fantasy in 1963.
Jim Brown. They didn't call it fantasy football back then, but one way or another. Russell Wilson is the only other player to start this fast.
All right.
We're going to be talking about Lamar Jackson in just a moment. He continues his red-hot start. He's looking to put up numbers that have never been seen before. But one of his former teammates is going to tell you exactly why this should not be a surprise. Next.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
All right, we are back on Get Up, and it is time for our power rankings, and we have given RG3 the honor of providing those for us today. Right this minute, Robert Griffin III, who are the five best teams in the NFL?
Well, you know, the list is going to be the list, so don't be upset. But number five, we're going to start with the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, they did lose to the Colts this past week, but they started out fast, beating the Chargers. Patrick Mahomes is their quarterback. They got to get back on track. I think this past week was a wake-up call for them, and it's going to help them later in the year. At number four, I'm going with the Baltimore Ravens. Lamar Jackson, probably the NFL MVP frontrunner right now. Their defense got back on track after giving up those 28 points in the fourth quarter to the Dolphins. Lamar is on fire, and as long as he's playing like that, they might end up being a Super Bowl favorite. Now, at number three, I'm going with the Buffalo Bills. I get it. Everybody thought they were going to go undefeated this year. But guess what? They lost to the Miami Dolphins. Yes, they are banged up, but they still got that bad man, Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs out there at wide receiver. So they're coming in at number three. At number two, I'm going with the Philadelphia Eagles. Jalen Hurts has played himself into the second place, in my opinion, of the MVP conversation. Their defense had 9 sacks against the Commanders, and the Commanders' defense dared Jalen Hurts to beat them with his arm, and he did that. They got 2 Batmans at wide receiver, and that's why they're there at number two. And number one, the team that nobody wants to give credit to, the team that everybody said the quarterback ain't got no arm strength. And what I'm telling you is, the one thing you don't want to see is a pissed off Samoan. Tua Tagovailoa, the Miami Dolphins, coming in at number one. They beat the team that beat the Super Bowl champs from last year. They beat the team that beat the number one team in the AFC last year, the Tennessee Titans. And they went out there and they got it done, only gave up 19 points to a team that had hung over 27 on every team that they faced. So face it, people, the Miami Dolphins are the best team in the NFL.
Now, we had a lengthy debate about this a little bit earlier, and Dominique, where Robert and I, who I agree with him, able to win you over. It's not about who's going to be the best team at the end of the season. They've beaten New England, Baltimore, and Buffalo.
I have no problem with this list. This is the power rankings. You ask who the best team in football is. It's different than who is the top of the power rankings. I could quibble with Eagles over Dolphins, Dolphins over Eagles, but I think this is an excellent list. Nothing to argue about. I'm a Dolphin. Fins up.
Fair enough. And then we're going to get to see Tua coming up this week, and that's part of some huge quarterback matchups that we have in week 4. So let's look ahead to them. It's actually Thursday night. Tua and the 3-0 Dolphins go to Cincinnati, taking on last year's superstar quarterback, if it's just Joe Burrow. The Bengals finally got a win last week. First time these two played each other since they were at Bama and LSU. Sunday, we got a rematch of Super Bowl 55 when Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs face Tom Brady and the Bucks. We know the Tampa's offense currently averaging just 17 points a game through 3 weeks. Maybe the best of them all. The two MVP frontrunners taking center stage, Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson, will square off. Yesterday, RC had these thoughts on Lamar.
He is setting a new quarterback market every time he steps on the field. Mm. For all the things that we said about the young guns that were coming up, oh, Joe Burrow's better, oh, Justin Herbert's better, it looks different, but it's not better. Lamar Jackson is the scariest player at the position in the entire world.
So I want to set the stage for this conversation appropriately, because when I brought this up in our meeting this morning, much of the reaction was, well, who's questioning him? Mm. Who is it that doesn't acknowledge how great he was? Do I need to remind everyone? Put the quote on the screen. This wasn't 10 years ago. This was 2 months ago that an anonymous NFL defensive coordinator told The Athletic that I don't care if he wins league MVP 12 times. He'll never be a number one as a quarterback. He's number one as a football player, but not as a quarterback. He didn't rank amongst the top 10 quarterbacks in the sport as voted on by the geniuses who actually run these teams. So the point is, there are still people questioning the greatness of Lamar Jackson. Why is that? Jeff Saturday, you were the one who said to me, no one's questioning it. Yes, they are. Yeah. Why?
They dum-dums. Straight dum-dums, bro. I mean, whoever the coordinator is, he's talking about wins 12 MVPs, but we play football. It's not just quarterback. He plays football. So if you watch the way that the Ravens have built this offense around him, this guy is lethal whether he's throwing the ball or running the ball. And look, this is a power run set up for a quarterback. He's 11 yards and ends up getting this thing in. They run a counter tray a few plays before, and you have Matthew Judon running basically a sprint to the sideline for the tailback. This play right here. Look at this. He's got a tight end, he's got a receiver, Duvernay. He's got his right tackle blocking down the field. These plays are almost impossible to defend. And so when you put a player of Lamar Jackson's caliber back there, somebody says, I don't care if he wins MVP 12 times. He's going to win Super Bowls. He's winning MVPs, because that means he's 87% of their offense. If 87% of your offense is that, you're winning games. I mean, it's just stupid. So that's why I asked the question.
You know, and so we got this led to a bigger discussion in our meeting this morning. And, you know, Robert Griffin III, you were his teammate. You know him well. And he has not done a lot of the things that the quarterbacks traditionally do, the stars of his caliber. Not only does he not got the contract, but you don't see him in all the commercials and talk shows and things like that that you do maybe with Patrick Mahomes and some of the others. Right. Tell us about him. What makes Lamar Jackson tick?
Oh, I mean, Lamar Jackson's his own guy. And that's one thing I noticed after being his teammate for 3 years. He marches to the beat of his own drum. He wants to be a trailblazer. The first thing he said when we came into a meeting was, I want to be a billionaire. Mm. Well, how do you become a billionaire? Billionaires are guys that are innovative. They're the ones that are setting new trends. And that's what he wants to go out and do. But the thing he did best this offseason was he took his own growth and development into his own hands. He went out and worked with quarterback coach Adam Dado out in California 9 times. Now, to give you a reference, guys like Tom Brady, Matt Ryan work with the same guy, and they go out 2 or 3 times throughout an offseason. Lamar, he skipped the Ravens offseason program, and he said, you know what, I need to get better at my fundamentals, my mechanics, to become repeatable. And that's what you've seen in the film. He is repeatable. He can hit a 15-yard out 15 times in a row now, same spot where he needs to go. His feet are calm in the pocket. And I watched him go out there and throw 4 touchdowns this week. Huh. Only 1 interception, but 4 touchdowns, not a ton of yards, and it just reminded me of his MVP season in 2019. Yeah. He's doing great things. He's first in passing touchdowns, first in passer rating, second in QBR, and fourth in rushing.
Yeah.
All I got to say is
fourth in rushing.
Yesterday's price ain't today's price.
Fair enough. But Dominique,
yesterday's price ain't today's price.
He's the best player in the National Football League, and no one says it. If we were to start right now, if every NFL, all those same general managers and geniuses who run these teams, if they were to start a draft right now and they could pick any player they wanted, they would take Mahomes, they would take Allen. Lamar Jackson is the best player in the sport right now, and people don't say that out loud.
Yeah, I mean, these coaches and general managers have come up in football a certain way, and they believe that that's the only way. There's some people who are willing to challenge that and think of it differently. But the fact of the matter is, Lamar Jackson is improving at those traditional things also. It is scary. And if he does this in quiet, which he's kind of doing it secretly, where he's balling from the pocket, and he still keeps this part of his game, like, he is going to be, I don't know what's better than the best, but he's going to be that. And this team around him is going to get better because of him. He's one of the few players in football that actually, like, lifts all boats around him. He right. is a rising tide. We say it about other quarterbacks, but nobody really does it like he does.
Marcus, get in here.
Hey, guys, I listen, man, this is about to take a turn, okay? And I'm just warning everybody before we start.
Let's go.
Lamar Jackson is a black quarterback, okay? That has a lot to do with how he's talked about. Could you imagine if Baker Mayfield was having the career Lamar Jackson is having right now? If we would be having these conversations or talking about some anonymous GM talking about him winning 12 times. Like, I hate that I gotta bring that up, but when it comes to Lamar Jackson, it's always, yeah, but. What is he gonna do? Bro, the dude, to your point, G, what you just said, Lamar Jackson, and it should stop there. Right now, Lamar Jackson is the best player in the NFL. Right now. That's what he is. Guess what? 2 years ago, he was the best player in the NFL. And we still got to have people out here in the public having conversations. Not us here. I've heard everybody agree about Lamar Jackson's ability, his talent, and what he does successfully. I got on Lamar Jackson last year for throwing interceptions because I thought That's right. he was buying into trying to be what everybody thought he should be. He's a great quarterback. That's what he is. He's a football player, but he's a great quarterback. I just get so frustrated, man, and I hate bringing this up because we got to have these conversations a lot, but they matter. It matters when we're talking about Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson can come out here like that anonymous guy said, and everybody drinks. He might have been drunk. If he won 12 MVPs, he would never. What other quarterback would you say that about? What other guy exactly. that you've ever seen the position would you say that about? What Lamar Jackson and what we've seen him do, why are we still having conversations about this dude not being a top five or a top six quarterback in the NFL? I tweeted out during the game. I said Lamar Jackson can't throw because I wanted to see what the reaction would be. You know, I actually had guys come on Twitter and Instagram and people in the sphere say, yeah, you're right, Swaggle. I was being sarcastic, America. That's what I was being. But when it comes, I'm just tired of having this conversation about what is Lamar. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. It should stop right there.
Go ahead, Danny.
I mean, he's absolutely right, because the issue when you talk about criticism of Lamar is it's often anonymous, because you can hide behind anonymity when your evaluation is rooted in bias and in preconceived notions. And obviously the issue throughout history that has confronted black quarterbacks in the NFL has been rooted in bias and preconceived notions. And ideally you start to break through it, but it's not all gone, obviously. People don't like to give up on their pre-draft evaluation, right? If you didn't think Lamar Jackson was any good before he got drafted, you're going to cling to that as long as you can. And I think that's what you see in some of these anonymous quotes. Unfortunately, the world of 2022 is a grumpy place. Yeah. I mean, people don't like joy. Lamar Jackson is joy. If you cannot enjoy watching Lamar Jackson play football, I don't know why you watch sports.
I can't imagine
sports.
You like turning on TV watching Lamar Jackson and being upset.
That's what I was about to say.
I'm running out of time. Let me get a quick final word from Robert. Go.
Yeah. You know, to Marcus's point, black quarterbacks have always had their leadership abilities questioned, their intelligence belittled, and that's what you're seeing with Lamar Jackson. But I'll take it a step further, Marcus. Where's the camera at?
Right there.
If Lamar Jackson continues to play the way that he has these first 3 weeks of the season, he'll be the greatest quarterback this game has ever seen. No one's ever done it the way that he's done it. I'm proud of him. If he sees this message, I want him to know everything we talked about for those 3 years, he's going out there and doing it. Keep your foot on their neck. Man, I'm so proud of you. Keep doing your thing.
Perfect way to finish the conversation. We'll leave it at that. We'll continue in just a moment here. Get up on ESPN. We'll talk about another star quarterback. Was yesterday, or this weekend at least, the first time that Patrick Mahomes missed his guy Tyreek Hill. Rex Ryan thinks so. Does my crew agree? You'll find out next.
Tired of
ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Got a great one in the ACC coming up on Saturday night. Can't ask for more than this. Number 5, Clemson. Number 10, NC State. Both unbeaten. Chris and Kirk have the call. 7:30 Eastern on ABC. And McAfee will be on ESPN2 during the game. All right, Kansas City's our next stop. Chiefs coming off their first loss of the year and a surprising result against Indianapolis. And yesterday here on the show, Rex Ryan talked about Patrick Mahomes and what he thinks might have been missing. Listen.
I think this is the first time that you can say Kansas City missed Tyreek Hill. Mm-hmm. Tyreek Hill was missed so bad in this game. That's what my first thought of is, man, did they miss Tyreek in this one.
Do you agree with that as a quarterback? We saw the lack of explosive plays. We saw some other sloppiness, perhaps. Do you think they missed Tyreek?
I think they missed Tyreek in a sense of he wasn't able to bail Patrick Mahomes out in certain situations. But they might have thought this was sweet, but it was actually sour. They started fast earlier in the year, probably rolled into Indy thinking, hey, we're going to run over these guys. But any given Sunday, you can lose a football game, and it takes all 11 guys to win. So I think, in a sense, yes, he missed Tyreek, but only in the situation of bailing him out. They got to get back.
You're always going to miss a guy like that, but that wasn't the issue on Sunday. Right. Unless Tyreek Hill was going to be the special teams coordinator, I don't think that they really missed him. The problem on Sunday was fumble, muff punt, punt down on a one, fake field goal miss. Like, that's really what killed them.
Travis Kelce dropping a touchdown. I mean, everything don't happen. I mean, listen, offensive line played bad for the first time all season. The Colts hadn't gotten any pressure the first 2 weeks. They all of a sudden pressure Mahomes. This had nothing to do with Tyreek Hill, man. The Chiefs laid an egg, bro. It was a straight dud performance. Yep. They knew it. That's why the frustration was there at halftime. When you're not playing up to your level, it frustrates you. They just had a bad day.
But could I push back on that and wonder aloud, if you have someone like Tyreek Hill, who no matter how badly everything else is going, at any given moment might just make one crazy play that turns everything around, is that what they were missing on Sunday?
No, I mean, that's what I'm saying. There was too many mistakes for one guy to overcome those. Again, he doesn't play special teams like that. He doesn't play – he can't catch for Travis Kelce.
They didn't lose by 4 touchdowns. Yeah, they had the lead in the fourth quarter of that game.
I mean, you could say that for any tight game then. We'll say it for every tight game the Chiefs play. If they lose, if they'd had a Hill, they'd have won it. Like, you can't – I appreciate it, but no.
Yeah, but they didn't lose 40-37 either, right? They only scored 17 points. I think it's a reminder that this is a project, that they're putting together an offense that's going to look different. They talked about it all offseason. It came out and destroyed the Cardinals week one, and everything looked great. Yep. But that obscured the fact that they still have to figure some – I think they will. I mean, I think that coaching staff and that quarterback will figure it out. But this week was a reminder that they still have
this is a frustration. Let me just say, this is a frustration issue not unlike last year for Patrick Mahomes early in the season. When teams played two shell, made him check it down, this Tyreek Hill didn't all of a sudden open up the offense.
Right.
Like, it is about development of a football team. It's week 3. They played bad. That's the bottom line.
I'm old enough to remember a week ago when we said Patrick Mahomes was going to be better because he was playing the position differently without Tyreek Hill.
Who's it at? I say that.
We did.
Out of the game on Thursday night against the Chargers. But, oh, look how he's playing the position better.
And I agree, because I was one of the guys that said that. But to your point, your best players have to play their best, and they didn't in this game.
Yeah. Right.
And if they don't show up, it doesn't matter if Tyreek Hill is there or Randy Moss. It ain't going to help you.
All right, well, look, if your offensive line isn't playing well, all quarterbacks are going to struggle, and that's why Marcus might say they need new security. Mm.
Don't do it.
I know some people in this league need security. Everybody ain't getting dumped around here. This long gone mother law. He needs a new security guard. They better find somebody quick. Athleticism is a trait of being a security guard. And when you don't have none, you get your quarterback killed by a little guy. Like when the big dude run up on one of the little dudes and then you find out he a damn MMA fighter and you get beat to sleep. You need new security.
We all love the open. Marcus has got it. We call it Swagoo's Revenge for Saturday's pancakes. Take it away, big fella.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to top Jeff pancakes this week. He had everybody flat back like flapjacks. But I'm going to you need new security, and I'm starting off with my man Aaron Donald. Y'all, I got to start off with this. 100 career sacks, me. 10 career sacks. Aaron Donald, 100. That's times 10. And it was on Kyler Murray. Guys, this is an open field getting Kyler Murray on the ground. How many times do we see that happen? We saw Kyler Murray run around for 20 minutes last week and win the game at the end of the game. Aaron Donald goes in and get his 100 career sack on one of the hardest guys to sack that we've ever seen in this league. Phenomenal 99. Kyler Murray, you need new security. Probably won't say that much the rest of the year because it ain't a bunch of Aaron Donalds walking around. Next, I got Quinnen Williams. Quinnen, look, man, Joe Burrow said everybody calm down. It's fine. Joe Burrow, message, it ain't fine. You still getting hit, bro. And I know y'all won the game. But Big 95 was pissed off all game, y'all. And it did not start on the field. This was the Cincinnati Bengals and Joe Burrow need new security. But Quinnen Williams had other things in mind during the game, too. He wanted his D-line coach to need security. Look at all the security guards come up and separate them. Man, I'm telling you right now, that head coach was like, thank God for these teammates. Because I was about to die. Hey, Coach and Joe Burrow, you need new security. Damn, Carson Wentz. No. Carson Wentz, my bad. I heard everybody say the Washington Commanders was going to be better. This was going to be a Carson Wentz revival. And the Eagles got plans for everybody in the NFC East. You are not going to win when you play us. To the tune of 9 sacks. We talking about Daniel Jones. Carson Wentz looked like Daniel Jones. This was a prelude to what we saw last night. The NFC East is a mess. And the only people that's ruling the roost is the Philadelphia Eagles. Y'all get how I said that, ruling the roost? And it's the Carson Wentz,
we got 9 sacks.
You need new security. Carson Wentz didn't need a security for a long time, y'all. But that, watching that, I actually felt bad for Carson Wentz and Dan at the same time.
I got one thing to pick. Carson Wentz needs new security because he can't find a receiver, bro. That's his own fault.
Make all the excuses you want, Jeff. Nine of them.
Oh, we're going to sack.
So off. Jeff Saturday has
take
now
off
decided.
Carson Wentz.
Yeah, Carson Wentz was sacked 9 times, and it was his own fault. Yeah.
Thank
that's
you.
An offensive lineman for him. Okay, on we go. And then First Take takes over top of the hour. Cooper Rush made no mistakes. Dallas defense dominates. Are the Cowboys better than we thought? Stephen A., Molly, and Swagoo debate that and more. Top of the hour here on ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We are back, and of course, we opened with the game of the night last night. The Cowboys improving to 2-1, knocking off the Giants on Monday Night Football, and they did it behind Cooper Rush, who is now 2-0 as a starter, playing in place of the injured Dak Prescott. It was Jerry Jones, who legendarily said he was looking for a quarterback controversy. So you have to wonder, what's he saying today? Well, he did his interview on 105.3 The Fan and said of Dak's thumb, quote, "I think his progress is nothing short of amazing. It's a question of whether or not he'll be able to grip and throw the ball, and we don't know that." And how much of a rush should the Cowboys make? I didn't even mean it, but to get Dak back right this minute, neat.
I think that they play Russian roulette for a couple of weeks, and it came up blank, and they need to get Dak back as soon as possible. He's as good as they can expect from a quarterback to have. So it gives them more opportunities to win with Dak, so I think they need to get him
Russell
back.
Wilson came back from this early and yep. said it affected him.
Yep.
They've gotten two games. I'm not saying they can continue to win with Rush, but you got to let him get back because the end of this season, they'll be pushing for the playoffs because of what he's already done. Don't rush him back.
That's what I was thinking, too, is there was an urgency to bring him back if the season was about to be over.
Right.
But it isn't now, so maybe you do give him the time to be as healthy as he needs to be.
Yeah, to your point, you don't rush him back, but this isn't about Cooper Rush. This is about those running backs in Dallas and their defense playing it the way they are.
That's
if
right.
they can continue to do that, allow Dak to get healthy. They don't call it grip it and rip it for no reason.
Right.
If you can't grip the ball and throw it and feel comfortable, don't put him out there.
Yeah, I think once he's healthy, they'll put him back out there. Once they're sure that he can handle it, once he's not going to be second-guessing himself or his throws are going to be off, I think they'll be ready to go. But if they wanted to go 500 or better with Cooper Rush, they've already done it.
Yeah, exactly. And you said they are patient. The Cowboys historically are patient with players, so I respect that too. They're not going to hurry him back if they don't feel good about
it. Look, I mean, a week from Sunday, they have Aaron Donald in the Rams. Right. I'm not kidding when I say that might be a game you skip. We'll see what we decide to go. Really fun morning today. Thanks for getting up with us. We will see you back in Better Than Ever tomorrow. First Take starts now.
Come on.